Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland, so thank you for coming to my channel. This is about the freeing of political prisoners in Belarus, so certainly something to be celebrated. And Sarah Rainsford reporting, a woman who was a BBC journalist in Moscow about 30 years, till she was deported a bit before the Ukraine war. Anyhow, there have been some items in the media and so on suggesting the release of these political prisoners was going to come out around it. It happened. So Lukashenko has ruled that country with a rod of iron since 1994. He's an unrepentant Stalinist to the extent that his secret police, he still calls them Komitet Государственной Безопасности, very much embrace of the Soviet era heritage, even economic model to some extent, more so than Russia, more Russian than the Russians, speaking the Russian language more than Belarus. And Lukashenko, this is how oppressive he was. He signed a treaty in 1999, agreeing to full reunification with Russia. He hasn't done it. And people who even advocated his own policy have been jailed for it. So really, the Overton window is completely closed there for fairly uncontentious opining. People can get years and years in harsh prison conditions where they're malnourished. Now, these people had some value to the regime, so it's going to make sure that they didn't die in prison. It's the only country in Europe that uses the death penalty, not just has it on the books, but actually openly uses it and so forth, in which torture is not uncommon of political detainees. So he had a flagrantly rigged re-election in 2020, and I think again earlier this year. But people hardly bother protesting. Anyone who's minded protests either in prison or in exile. So Maria Kolesnikova was perhaps the most prominent human rights activist to be set at liberty. And that was through delicate negotiations with the United States, a loosening of sanctions. Now, and so far as I'm aware, the European Union was not in on this. And there have been some other releases. Now, yes, it's good that these people are free. They should never have been in jail in the first place. In almost no other country would they be behind bars. They were in jail precisely because they were good people, not because they were bad people, and wanting real elections and freedom of expression, the things that are actually in the Belarusian constitution. So he's murdered his opponents since the 90s, not in huge numbers. How does Lukashenko rule? Partly by the omnipresence of a secret police, by brutality. It's not large numbers of people are killed. Nostalgia for the Soviet era and so on. And a few goodies to those who are willing to be collaborators with his regime. So very glad that Maria Kolesnikova, along with 122 others, is free, I think, now in Vilnius. Indeed, Viktor Babaryka, a well-known banker who declared his nomination for presidency in 2020, he was incarcerated, and he wasn't that anti-establishment. Lukashenko only allowed Svetlana Tsikhanouskaya to stand against him, thinking that she was a nobody, people wouldn't vote for a woman, and her husband was already in jail while he couldn't stand. A Nobel Prize laureate, Ales Bialyatsky, has also been freed. So, organizing mass unrest, which would be peaceful protest in any other country, challenging the constitutional order. Well, he's the one who's in material breach of the constitution every single day. So that's why John Cole, United States envoy, he went to Minsk lately. There may be more coming. So potash is in the fertilizer, one of the major exports. They've removed those sanctions. The European Union still has them. And obviously, by not buying Belarusian potash, it makes it more expensive to buy potash. Food, they're more expensive, and so on. So there were oil and gas from Russia that they got cheap, that they used to sell on, and so forth. They are part of the CSTO, Russia's military alliance. They allowed the Russians to use their territory to attack Ukraine. Was Belarus going to come into the war? They didn't. Some Belarusian dissidents have blown up Russian warplanes in Belarus and so forth. And some Belarusian freedom fighters are on the Ukrainian side, using the old flag of Belarus as their emblem and so forth. So Vilnius appears to be the capital for the government in exile of another former Soviet republic in Lithuania. So that's obviously just over the border from Belarus, using the white, red, white flag, a bicolor. Well, I suppose it's still a bicolor. It's a red and green flag, a rather different design. So that's all very good news. And they also, in previous releases, they'd allowed Belavia, the Belarusian airline, to buy some sanctioned equipment. But the trouble is, might be passed on to Aeroflot, the Russian airline. And this has actually strengthened Lukashenko because the economic pressure has been reduced a little. But why did he give in? Possibly he was that desperate. What is it? It doesn't really matter. These people, they have to leave the country. If a feeling that Maria Kolesnikova refused released was due to be released and tore up her passport a few years ago. And the previous prisoner released a few weeks ago, one of the men due to be released refused to leave the country. And so he's back in jail and nobody knows where and so on. So conditions are harsh in a crowded and a tiny prison cell, almost no exercise, be very, very cold. They could hold you incommunicado for years or in solitary confinement. These are really inhumane conditions and so forth. So hopefully that one day Belarus will be free. But Lukashenko possibly grooming his son, Kolya, who's only about 22, for leadership. His youngest one he had with his mistress, he's a GP. His two elder sons with his wife, he's publicly described them as weaklings. So he's a tall, physically imposing man with a comb over. So he sets a lot of store by physical strength. Goodness. So it might also be a sign that they've been prized away from Russia, because when relations have soured Moscow, he's made overtures to the West. But in 2020, when there was that blatantly falsified election and Western countries are sanctioning him harshly, that drove him into Putin's arms. No alternative, because, you know, not great for natural resources, almost not all gas, coal or precious metals, non-precious metals, not a lot in terms of minerals. Some farmland, all right, but that's not exactly unusual. And it was not of great interest to India or China or any other significant power. So as the USA and European Union countries didn't want to do much commerce with him, Russia was his only option. And he submitted a state visit to Iran. So he's part of this, axis of pariahs. Belarus is one of the few countries that really rolls out the red carpet for Putin all the time. But even they haven't joined in this illegal war of aggression against Ukraine. And even a few months into the war, Lukashenko said the war is dragging on a bit. Now, Zelensky and Lukashenko, despite being politically poles apart, managed to have a cordial relationship. And Zelensky is willing to speak Russian to Lukashenko, the first language of both of them. Whereas otherwise, Zelensky makes a point in public of speaking only Ukrainian or English. I mean, right at the beginning of the war, he did address the Russian people in the Russian language, but just trying to underscore that the Ukrainians have their own language and they are a separate nation. So I'm very glad that these people have been released from their unjust detention. So people should only go to prison if they really have committed a crime that warrants that. On the other hand, it makes the Lukashenko regime more durable, saying these people are outside the country, they're not a significant threat. There are thousands, maybe tens of thousands of Belarusian dissidents abroad, particularly in Poland and Lithuania, and they can't do much. And those who've decided to remain in Belarus think that the system is just unbeatable, and they're just going to have to get along with life, keep their heads down, tolerate the oppression, because there's no sense in risking it and getting yourself jailed for years if it's not even going to shift the regime. But my hat is off to these people who have the valor, who are willing to make the sacrifice to give up their freedom for years, and is not guaranteed to be crowned with success. They may never shift Lukashenko. But Lukashenko, how old is he? He's 1954, so he's 71. He can't go on forever. He does seem to be the rudest of health and fighting fit, as he often likes to underline. Goodness, what do you think? Thanks for watching your channel. My channel, please subscribe on Patreon, the new PayPal, georgecannon79@gmail.com. Goodbye.